So I said, right, Lord, I know I'm speaking on grace. You've told me that. You're going to have to tell me what to say. You're actually going to have to tell me what to say. I mean, we all know a little bit about grace and whatever, unless you're some of the talented people amongst us, and we have got talented people amongst us. It's good, though. We did some reading, did some studying, and here's a point. It was mentioned last week, Smith Wigglesworth, fantastic man. If you don't know any of his books, read them. He was 47 when he preached his first sermon. So I've just made that, haven't I? By a little bit, just nipped in. But you see, his wife did the teaching, and he, through different reasons, was in the background. And then I guess God tapped on his shoulder and said, hey, mate, come on. And what the rest of his life was. If you don't know anything about Smith Wigglesworth, it's worth reading. So I said, oh, by the way, I have got lots of paper. I didn't know whether to have my laptop, my iPad, my iPhone, stuff on here. I just really didn't know what to do because I'm not sure the way to go. But I'm not very technical either, so it has to be pen and paper. And most of it's spelt wrong, but I can read it, you know what I mean? Talking about English, I'm not the best English scholar, you know. Mine's CSC level 4. And if you don't know what a CSC level 4 is, you might have to ask your granddad. I haven't got all of this stuff. But you know what? It's not really what's in here with God. It's what's in here. So I might muddle through and you might say, oh, well, that wasn't quite right. It probably isn't quite right. But if you know what it should have been, I'll go with that. Okay? So I have to go and say, you're going to have to tell me what to say. Now, we did some studying, which is right. Some studying from the Word. And I didn't use my iPhone. I used the Word. I think it's just better when you can feel the pages. Nothing wrong with the iPhone. Not knocking it. But you've got to feel the pages. That's where it comes, I think, anyway. So let's just pray. So you know it's about grace. Let's pray. Father, for what we are about to receive, may you make us truly thankful. Amen. And Father, send the anointing. It's no good me talking here without no anointing. And I tell you what, if you want to get a blessing before every Sunday morning meeting, go to the 10 o'clock prayer meeting. I went today because I felt I was obliged. I probably wasn't, but I felt I was. But you know what? Might even come to some more if I can. A meeting in itself. So I'll just leave that with you. I know, you know, it's not for everyone. So I went to the Lord and said, right, what am I going to say? I've got quite a few verses today. I'm not going to apologize for going through the Word of God. If you can't follow, I've spoke to my beautiful assistant who said he's going to try. I said, I'll try and get into his head. I'm not sure if I can. So you might see verses popping up, but as I go through, go with them. And I did say to a few people, it's either going to be 10 minutes or 3 hours. So I'll apologise now. We either have the cakes before 12 o'clock or it has to be at 2 o'clock. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is how it is. I'm sure if I'm doing this every week, and you know what, I'm not sure my body could cope with that. You'd get it. You'd get to understand it better. Okay, Old Testament grace. There wasn't a lot of Old Testament grace, as we're not a lot. There was about, on average, a verse per book, which when you think about it, is not a lot. But there was mentions about God being gracious to his people in some of the Psalms, Psalm 45, verse 2, Psalm 84. There was a few, Zechariah mentioned it, but of course you probably all know Esther. And Esther, in Esther 2, that might come up, she found grace and favour in the presence of the king. So it's there. God's grace is there in the Old Testament. Now, New Testament grace, Let me spell it out for you, because my English pronunciation isn't very good. Claris, C-H-A-R-I-S. And this means it bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favourable regard. When Jesus came, was born, lived, ministry, and he died on a cross, at that point, grace literally, well, I'll use the word exploded, went phew. Grace then come into its own, okay? It just went to another level. Now, I didn't know, and you may do, the Hebrew root of the word grace means to bend down to, suggesting a loving parent bending over a suffering child, or a good Samaritan bending over a wounded or injured man. That's what grace means. Grace was first and foremost a term for the nature of God's loving care to us. Okay, probably all know that. It was also became a term for human salvation. We'll come on to that later. Now, grace is such a massive topic, I'm only going to scratch the surface. And you may go home today and think, well, that wasn't what I expected on grace. I'm sorry for that. But I just hope that you just get a bit of God's grace coming through, okay? Okay, grace is a free gift of God. Can you get more of it? Probably guess you can. Can you lose it? Think you can. If you think I'm wrong, go on that one. But you can also get it back. If we've lost it, we can get it back. I mean, if your name's Grace, do you have more of it? I'm looking over this way. I wonder if your name's Grace, you actually have more grace. I don't know. Mind you, my mother's name's Grace. Maybe not. Maybe not. Can you pass grace on to others? Yeah, I think you can. I think that's something that we can, yeah. But I was laughing when I was talking to God about this, and this has had to be me quietly talking to God in those quiet moments saying, you've got to give me this, you've got to give me this. And I was laughing with him. I said, all right, all right. He said, look, it takes my grace to be at school, if anyone knows that. I know that. It takes God's grace to be at college or university. It takes God's grace to have a job, to stay in a job that you hate, or one that you're really struggling with. It takes God's grace to do that. It takes God's grace to be married. After 40 years, I can tell you that. It takes God's grace, though, to be single. It takes God's grace to bring up kids, bring up teenagers, to be a teenager, to teach someone how to drive, especially in your car. It takes God's grace, lots of situations. It takes God's grace to see your children married, especially you ladies. It must be hard when your daughters go and get married and they leave home. It takes God's grace when they come back. Do you know what I mean? You think they've gone, but you know what? They're back again, you know? It takes God's grace to grow old. But it also takes God's grace just to live every single day for him. It is as if we bend down to others with God's grace. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. We are the church. And if I mention the word church and I start picking on the church, I don't mean necessarily just the people in this building. Just take it, God's told me I'm just going to say the church in general. All right, I certainly wouldn't pick on my brothers here, unless you needed it. I think we're all born with a percentage of grace. We've talked about that before. And if you're a Tuesday's child, you might have more grace. I could never work that chorus out, that poem or whatever it was, because I was one of the rubbishy ones, so I never really liked it anyway. Are we gloriously saved by grace? come about to that later. As we grow as a Christian, we will have a deepening in God's grace in our life. That's got to happen. Salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, basically moving on in God. We have to have and we have to see a deepening of God's grace in our lives. And I'll be honest, I've learned loads from this. Don't think Eddie Ranger knows all of this, because this has really challenged me, really, really challenged me. And I actually won't be the same again, particularly now as God's grace is concerned. It has really changed me. We must move away from the sin, ask forgiveness. Oh, I feel better now. Sin, oh, I know, ask forgiveness. Feel better now. Sin, we must get out of that cycle. If anyone's in that cycle, because that is just abusing God's grace in our lives. Sorry, Peter. God's grace can be seen in the world. We mentioned before the story of the Good Samaritan. The prodigal son, Luke 15, we've had that. I've been here, you know, 40-odd years or whatever. Give away my age, haven't I? He thought it was only 47. And I've heard the prodigal son priest hundreds and thousands of times. But in verse 20, the father, moved with pity and tenderness, ran to him and embraced him. God's grace. Now, you will have all heard stories. Probably most of you will have heard the things that I'm going to say. Now, I heard a story about a young teenager in America. I mean, and this is quite a while ago, before anyone knew what a mobile phone was, or a mobile phone with a tracking device. This was a good few years ago when we only had, if you were lucky, you had a landline. If you were unlucky, you might have had a party line. And if the person on your party never shut up, you hardly ever got a chance to get on the phone anyway. This was as it was in the old days. Story of America. She was a young teenager in a Christian home. But she was a little rebellious and she thought, I'm not coping with this. So she left. She walked out. And she went to the big city. I mean, you know, you can realise that they couldn't find her. They wanted to find her, but they couldn't find her. There was people looking for her and they couldn't find her. Their face was on the milk bottles and stuff like that, whatever they do. And this Christian family went through agony trying to find her. They couldn't find her. She got into the big city and she wasn't that old, but she got work. She got under someone's wing, which probably wasn't the best for her. And she got given work and there was lots of money. And she had a lovely place, and she was happy. Then she got ill. Nature of the work, I suspect, she got ill. So the work stopped. The nice living stopped for her. True story. The next minute, she's sitting under the bridge, sleeping in cardboard boxes. And she was only young. So she decided that maybe she'd be better off at home. So she made 3 phone calls home. First phone call, no answer. Second phone call, no answer. Third phone call, she plucked up the courage to leave a message on the answer phone. And she said, look, I'm coming home. The bus comes into town midnight on Friday. I'll be on it. If no one's there to meet me, I'll just stay on the bus and know that no one wants to know me, whatever. Now, she's sitting on the bus and she's thinking, that's great, he could be on holiday. She really thought of lots of things where they could have been, whatever. Anyway, the bus pulled into the station and it was just on midnight. And as the bus pulled in, a party erupted. a party of her friends, her family, her church people. True story. She got off the bus and she didn't even have to say anything to her father. And he just said, no, not now. Because God's grace for that family brought her home. True story. And I know, I've been here long enough, I know that if that was one of our own, do you know what? It would probably be something similar. I mean, it would be slightly different now, as I say, because now most parents put trackers on their kids' phones. They usually know where they are after 10 minutes, or I think they do anyway. Do you know what I mean? But it wouldn't happen now. But then, a true story, and she came back. But the dad couldn't say anything. Let me move on. I had to ask God for these titles. I said, you better give me what to say, as I said before. Now, for those of you who haven't read Leviticus recently, and David was mentioning it, I've read it about three times in the last year. And you know what? I have to study it. It's a most fascinating book. If you haven't read it recently, let me encourage you to read it again, because it's absolutely amazing. And if you don't get anything from it, come and see me and we'll have a discussion and maybe I can point you in the direction of getting something out of it. Most fascinating book. It is full of Jewish law, but you know what? You need to understand, as I say, this has changed me. You need to understand where the rest of it all fits in. And over the years, there have been people here saying, go on, read the Bible, go through the Bible. Now, I've been one of these people who dip in a chapter, dip in a chapter, go there, but I thought, no. And I'm nearly all the way through reading it all. And you know what? You've got to read it all the way through. Chapter here and chapter, that's no good. You've got to get on and read. And now I might be the only one who hasn't done it. I apologise if I am. But you've got to do that. I'm nearly there. And the good thing is I'm nearly there and then I'll start again. That's what we must do. John 1, 16 and 17. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Jesus tried to do things a little differently. There was a situation where he touched the dead body and stuff like that. Now, obviously, wasn't quite what to do, but God's grace was changing things. And then in Acts 10, 9 to 16, that's Peter's rooftop vision. And he wasn't happy. Couldn't believe what he was listening to or what he was seeing. And I think that was God saying to him, look, things are going to change. Things are changing. And do you know what? He realized that. And by God's grace, things are changing. Same with Stephen in Acts 6. 8. And do you know what? You want to read some of these stories, not just the verse. You need to get the feeling of it. As I say, I've had this for a long time and I've felt all of these verses and chapters. Get the feeling of it. I mean, Stephen, I'll come back to that. They said he had a face like an angel. I don't think anyone's going to say that of me ever. But you know what? You never know. You never know. It might not look like an angel now, but one day it might look like an angel face. So Stephen was stoned for saying that Jesus will change the customs of Moses. But you see, this is God's grace to us, the Gentiles. We were the outsiders, but now we're getting in. Now we're getting to be the insiders. Okay, God's grace is amazing, isn't it? But if it is so amazing, then why don't we show more of it? Every word we say and every action we take should reflect God's grace. The whole point of the gospel is that it's a gift of God to people that don't deserve it. And we must be the ones to dispense grace onto this world outside. In the early church in Acts 4:33, it was said that abundant grace was upon them all. And it is on us today. Another story. I'm sorry it's from America, but we'll let them off. A few years back, and you may have heard this, this affected me for a while, this story. It took me a while to get my head round. There was a story from America where a lady that, I'd say she was a night worker, shall I say. She had an interesting past, shall I say. And she realised she needed to try and turn herself around. So she was into, like I would say, she was having chats and discussions with people. And it was suggested that wouldn't it be good for you to go along to church? You know? And she said, do you know what? I feel bad about myself already. So why would I want to go to church to feel worse? Now that affected me, that really affected me. And I'm thinking, are we like that? Am I like that? Would that be me? And I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But it must be out there, mustn't it? You know, we've got to be gracious to the people out there and show God's love and grace to those out there. And if we have to, we have to bow down as if we're bowing down. Will the people out there want to join us? Will they want to come in to us? And it's really good that we have a welcoming committee, which is great. I mean, it isn't called, you know, an unwelcome committee, as it were. It's to welcome the people in. And they're not easy. It's not easy out there. I know it's not easy. Lots of different situations out there. But if we don't go out there, there's not much point being stuck in here. God will bless those who will and can do that. And I know he will bless you. Now, I was a bit stuck in my way, as you can tell. So I decided I need to develop my ministry. So I joined the flower watering team at the station. Now, you might think, wow. But you know what? I've had conversations on that station that I would never have had if I hadn't gone with my little watering can. And to be honest, what I know about flowers, I don't need to tell you. There's a sign on the wall saying, Kingsway have adopted this station. And I'm thinking, every time I'm going there, I hope I'm not killing these. Do you know what I mean? But that's not the point. That's not the point. It's little things like that. It's not all big things. You know, I can't do big things, me. I can only do little things. If anyone takes that job off me, I'll kick off. Because it's amazing. It's an amazing little job. But, when you're in the station, you're praying for the station staff and the people who are using, you're picking up a few ciggies and things and all that, trying to make the station look good because it's not for us. And I've had a couple of people say, you know, and that's all it takes. That's all it takes. But you see, I've been here long enough. I've had every excuse. I'd probably give most of them myself. One of the best ones I had was, oh no, it's okay, I don't go out there. I only work with Christians. You know? And to be honest, that's the wrong attitude, because if we only work with Christians, we've got it wrong. It should be the other way around. It should be said, I only work out in there and we'll get you. You know? But we can't just leave it to everybody else. It may cost something. Now, I have to say that I know there's people in this building. Oh, it might be finished by 2 o'clock. There's people in this building who work in the food banks, who work in the children's work, who work in the youth work, who do lots of things. And it's the people who you wouldn't think would be there in the front line. But I tell you what, you try and get those jobs off those people and you'll have a fight, because they know that's where God is and that's where they want to be. Now, and I'm not saying I can't get out and do more. And we're all busy. I'm busy myself. But I honestly believe we've just got to do a little bit more each. Now, look, if it's hard to do it out there, maybe, you know, maybe we should start in here. And maybe we should be showing a bit of God's grace to each other. You know, the people who haven't been here for a few weeks. Oh, well, Rob and Karen and Tino, they're in the office. They can do everything. They can ring everybody up. They've got nothing else to do. That's not how it works. That isn't how it works. You know, it's got to be a bit of all of us. You know, a phone call. I mean, I'm saying all this. I'll tell you now, I'm saying, look, Rob doesn't know what I'm saying this morning. I might get battered afterwards, I don't know. I'm saying all this because this is what I asked God to tell me and this is what God told me to say. Now, I am not perfect in that one, but maybe if we all went to visit someone, a phone call, a bit of shopping, you know, someone hasn't been for a few weeks, see how they're doing, you know, it's only little things, it only needs, because lots of little things add up to big things. I'll have to have a drink now, Vaddy. Jesus did his best work on the streets. That's where he was most comfortable. All right, the people were honest. Yeah, I think we're all right in here. But that's where he worked. We have to show God's grace to each other. Then it will be easier, I reckon, to go out there. Now, I can tell you now, there are people in this room that every single day they are interested in the body of Christ. They are ringing them, seeing them, coffee, meeting them. There are lots of people who in this room who are getting it right. But there may be one or two of us, including me, who could maybe do a little bit more. And once we practice in here, I really believe it'll be a bit easier out there. Right, I said to God, what do you want me to speak on? He said, grace and forgiveness. Ooh, okay. Matthew 6, 9 to 15. Now, we all know what that is. We all pray the Lord's Prayer. And that line, what verse is it? Let me see. Are we on Matthew 6, please, young man? Hey, we're getting there. I said you can get in my head and I'll get in your head. Imagine, not very pretty, really. Okay, next one. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Done. Finished. If only. We've all been in a situation where we have either needed to forgive someone or we have needed someone to forgive us. But it's hard. It's hard being there. Forgiveness seems unfair, but without it, we're not going to be able to move on. We're not going to be able to move on in God. Now, Martin Luther King said, what greater gift could Christians give to the world than the forming of a culture that upholds grace and forgiveness? We have to move in forgiveness. Now, a story I picked up, and I'm sure some of you have read it, the book, The Sunflower. I'll convince some of you will have read it. Of course, me, being a bit naive, picked it up and, well, I bought the book, and my mind literally was blew away. It was a story of a Polish Jew, an educated man, very educated man. And he was in prison in the camps, and horrendous story. I mean, it did affect me, but, you know, I've got to go and study more. And what happened was, he was assigned to a hospital, German hospital for soldiers. As I say, if you've heard the story, I'm sorry, you'd probably tell it better than me anyway. He was assigned to German soldiers, and there was an SS officer that wanted him to go in. He wanted a Jew because he wanted forgiveness of what he'd done, and what he'd done is horrendous, absolutely horrendous. So he was a Catholic in his youth. He wanted this guy to forgive him, basically. You forgive me, you're a Jew, you forgive me, I can go to my death, because there was only one place he was going. Now, the whole story revolves around this man, his experience in the death camps, his experience with this SS officer. And the question was, should I have forgiven him? Because that man couldn't. And you know what? I couldn't have done either. The book goes on, and he moves to America after the war. He gets out, and he dedicates his life, actually, to bringing to justice those who rightly needed being brought to justice. That's what he does for the rest of his life. But the question he gave in the book, and he sent this book to lots of people at the time, lots of prominent people in America, and he said, read the book, read my story, what would you have done? And that was part of the book. What would you have done? Could you have forgiven the SS soldier with horrendous stories? And he didn't. And you know what? I couldn't have done either. But one man sent back the book, the reply, and he said, you know what? He said, I've read your story, I've read it all. And he said, how I understand New Testament grace, maybe there is a cause for forgiveness. Now look, in that story, I don't think there ever will be. And the point's not about the story itself. The point is, you know what, in New Testament grace, if that man thought that could have been forgiven, well, there's nothing we can hold on to. There's nothing that can stew us up and say, well, I'm not forgiving them. No chance of that. In New Testament grace, look, there is forgiveness, and we have to forgive. Forgiveness is primarily an act of grace. It's an unnatural act. That's God's grace. God's forgiveness is a gift that is part of his amazing grace. And Ephesians 1:7, God will forgive our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I mean, look at Joseph, Genesis 45:1-8. Read the story of Joseph. If that had been me, I wouldn't have forgiven them. No chance. For what they did to me, not a chance. But he did, and he told them. And I mean, if I was one of the brothers, I don't know what they felt, because I know what I'd have felt if I was one of the brothers. But he did. He forgave them. Could you? I don't know. That was God's grace. The first and often the only person to be healed by forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. And when we genuinely forgive, we set a prisoner free. And then we find out that prisoner was us. Okay, the next section, salvation by grace. 2 Timothy 1, now I think the verse is on the front of your notice. I found this verse. I did a little bit of research on the internet. I'm clever, me. It took me about weeks, but. And I found this sermon preached in 1866. Not sure. No, I can pretty certain say no one was at that meeting here today. I'm fairly confident. But it was a fascinating read, the whole sermon. So you can imagine in 1866, they haven't got the L service, they haven't got mobile phones, you know, we haven't got none of that. I mean, it must have been hard. It must have been hard. You see these programmes on the telly with, you know, with the people from eras gone by, and you think, oh, couldn't have done that, couldn't have managed without me telly, you know, and things like that. I mean, it makes you wonder what the life was like of the people in 1866. But it comes out that they had the same problems as us. But you know what? 1866 or 2018, I've got that right. It's the same God who looks after the same people's problems. And you know what? It's the same grace. God's grace didn't change. The preacher of that sermon, which was very interesting, was C.H. Spurgeon. A fascinating sermon it was. Too long. Mind you, I could have just read that out, couldn't I? That wouldn't have might have passed. But same God, same problems, but God's grace shows right through. Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Easy as that. Most of us probably have done that. Acts 2:46 and 47, the early church grew up together and they were taking meals together. And the Lord added day by day all those who were saved. We used to have a family tea together in the olden days. And it was, for those of you who remember, some people remember them fondly, some people remember them as, whoa. But you know what? I know that some people really got stuff out of being meeting together and having a meal. I mean, if you're on your own, it's all right for all the families who disappeared, and there's 10 over here, 4 over here, Dave, 29 over there. There's all different sides of families all meeting together. But if you're on your own, to have family fellowship means a lot. Maybe we should consider inviting people more. Well, if you're on your own on Sunday, come and have lunch with us. Or, you know what I mean? We've got to think fellowship. We've got to think. Many were joining the early church, but all were being saved by God's grace. And it is by God's grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We believe we are all saved by grace. That was Acts 15:11. This is where us Gentiles, we're getting on board now. We're coming into the fold. It's undeserved, maybe. We'll take it anyway. But that's God's grace. I'm in. Are you in? Yeah, Jesus was comfortable and safe around sinners. He walked a very careful line, though. He understood the way of the Jews, and he understood the way of the Romans. I mean, some things when he was asked to speak, wow, he nailed it right on. And sometimes, you know what, when we're out and we're asked things, we don't nail it all the time. But you know what, you've got to have a go. You've got to have a go. But don't forget, it was the church of the day, poor Jesus, that got him arrested in the end. Okay, let's look at our three words. You've got to imagine now. Reach. They used to be on the front. Restore, that's right. Imagine this, refresh. This bit can take a bit of time, the restoring. There's a lot goes into the restoring of the body. Refreshing, yeah. That's nice to go there, but you know what? Without that and without that, who's doing the reaching? Because without the reaching, and I'm sorry I'm pointing at an empty wall, but without the reaching, there's really not much point to the others. So who's doing the reaching? I know there are people in this body that are having conversations about God to people on the outside every day. Not me. I'll tell you that, not me. But without getting out there, it's not going to happen. Not we can sit in our lovely warm, it's warm because we've got my jumper on, we can sit here lovely and warm, and but someone's got to get out there. Someone's got to mix with the world. Okay, I can say this, and we talked about it not so long ago from here. There was someone, was there someone in your life that you could say really got you involved, really got you thinking, and sort of like mentored you into the kingdom of God? Have you been that person to someone else? Have you really done that to someone else, maybe? Last year? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? In my case, 50 years ago? Which was right. But without that, no good. The rest of it doesn't really matter. Testimony. I'm glad we're starting Sunday night's meeting, but at the moment, I'm got commitments, I can't make it, and I'm hoping that there's going to be some testimony. We all love testimonies. I love myself. Have you got a testimony? Pastor Rob said to you, right, okay, I'll use myself because it probably, Eddie Ranger, can you come next week and give us a testimony? What do we used to say? A God incident? Something like that? Something last week, maybe? Last year? When was our last bit of God incident? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? I'm afraid we need a bit of shaking here in God's grace. I hope that goes in a little bit. Because we can't just come in week after week after week. I'm telling myself, week after week after week, and not think about what we're doing or what we're not doing. God loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. Now listen, while I was doing this, God said, look, he said, tell the people that are in business, maybe in politics, to work honestly, boldly, be strong in your faith, but most of all, be gracious in what you do. Following God is not what I can get away with. And you know what? For years, maybe for me, it was, what can I get away with? Don't think that'll work nowadays. When we love God, we will understand God's grace. My last piece. That worked out well, didn't it? We might get a piece of cake. Right. Outrageous grace. God gave me this chorus and reminded me of it. And I couldn't come to this microphone. And I said to the Lord, there's no way I can come to this microphone and not think about your healing power. I said, there is a lot of pain. And in fact, Godfrey Birtle had a similar conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said, Eddie, but there's a lot of healing. And that's hard when you look around and you know the people who are not well. I'm going to finish there. God also told me that maybe what I've said struck a chord. Maybe it's forgiveness. I don't know. Maybe we need more of Jesus. Maybe, as the chorus says, you're troubled. Maybe in sin, in fear. Maybe in a dark place. But as the chorus says, there's Jesus. Jesus will meet your every need. Now, I don't want the cakes to go warm. First of all, I'd like to thank Rob for giving me this opportunity, because when I went to Rob and told him what Roy had said to me, and I know, I could see it in his face he wasn't completely comfortable with, and I've got to go and see and have a feedback, and maybe he would have been right, I don't know. But I'd like to thank Roy. Because sometimes you've got to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, I'd have wished that Roy hadn't have said Eddie Range's name for ages. I wished he'd have said someone else's name, because that would have got me off the hook. But you know what? I'm sure God said, you know what, mate? This is your time. And it'll be your time as well. It can be your time as well. Don't sit there like I did and think, well, someone else must have the name Eddie Ranger. Must be someone else. Because you know what? God tells you to do something, do it. Now, if the musicians can come back and we're going to sing a little bit of Outrageous Grace, and I don't know whether there's anything or anything that you maybe have triggered or not or whatever. The Lord did tell me that he wanted one or two people who were musicians to pray as well. Because we give them the anointing to play. And God said, if anyone's in here, if anyone's around who is a musician, God told me. So if anyone does come out, but I just know, and I know if Jonathan will come and join me over there, if you are in a lot of pain, we're going to pray over there, because in God's name, there's healing. Amen.